I'm going to read for us 1 John chapter 2. I'll start at verse 1 and read till verse 14. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in the darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Today, I want to offer three encouragements for true believers. Three encouragements for true believers. If you're a Christian, I want you to walk away from this text encouraged that you are God's child. I want you to go home in closer fellowship with God. The question I would like to ask is this. Why, at this point in 1 John, do believers need encouragement? Why do believers need encouragement at this point in 1 John? John is laying on tests of, if you're really saved, he's laying on those tests thick and heavy. Test upon test. Are you truly a child of God? Well, then you will live this way. You will believe these things about Jesus Christ. Let's review. Chapter 1, look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Continuing into chapter 2, verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 9 of chapter 2, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. After hearing all those, you may wonder if you are truly a Christian. John is careful with the souls of his little children, he calls them, and he is careful That's why he says some other things to them. Chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And, or but, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily, truly is the love of God perfected. Verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. In our section today, John ramps up his encouragement for his little children, especially in verses 12 to 14. As you get to know me, you'll probably find out that I'm not naturally an encouraging person. God has some work to do in this area of my life. I tend to be critical, which is a double-edged sword. Good thinking skills, but also can tend toward a critical attitude. So if I encourage you, know that it was very intentional and I worked very hard at it. Or it was completely accidental. I shine when someone says, "What do you think about that?" That's nice, but John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knows exactly how to encourage his beloved children in the truth. He knows the right amount of heat to use to refine true believers and to burn off the false teachers. So that's what he's doing in these verses. He's refining true believers and he's burning off the false teachers. In this section, John is working for our fellowship with the Father, and it might hurt a little, but it's okay, because John knows how to encourage his little children in the truth. So three encouragements for true believers. Number one, the gospel is true in your life. The gospel is true or evident in your life. Verses 7 and 8. First, it seems that John is confused. He says, "I am writing you an old commandment, but I am writing you a new commandment. So which is it?" It is old because it is the message, the commandment they have heard from the beginning of their Christian lives. It's the commandment they heard when they were saved. How is it new? It's the new commandment that Jesus has given to his disciples. John 13, 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." If you flip over to 1 John 3, verse 23, John defines specifically this commandment he's talking about. He says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." So it's old because they've always had it, but it's new because he's referring back to the new commandment that Jesus had given his disciples. Simply this, what is the commandment? Believe the message about Jesus and love one another. Or as Paul would say, faith working through love. Trust Christ and love one another. It is evident to John that these Christians, that these little children he writes to, believe the gospel and love one another. look at the amazing statement in verse 8. We may have missed it. It says this. It says, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. He's saying this commandment is truly found in Jesus Christ and in you. In the same way, Christ fully expressed the commandment of God in his life. He says, you are doing the same thing. That's amazing. In verse 6 of chapter 2, John tells his little children that he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. A true believer lives like Jesus. And we talked about that last week. And John says to his little children, I see that in you. I see that you're living like Jesus. The commandment that he gave, that he expressed in his life, you're expressing in your life too. We'll go on to number 2. So first, the gospel, the commandment is evident in their lives. The second encouragement is this. The light is shining in your life. The light is shining in your life. Pay attention here. In the second part of verse 8, John explains why he sees the command truly expressed in Christ and his readers. It says this, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. That's why he sees the commandment is true in Jesus and in his readers. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The darkness is referring to the darkness and evil of the world. We get that in chapter 2, verse 17. The world and its desires are passing away. He's pointing forward to the evil world. The true light is Jesus, who he had just referred to. How do we put this together? It is evident that this command is true because Christ has brought light into this dark world. The command is evident in our lives because we are walking in the light of Christ and not in darkness. So John says, I see the command is true in Jesus because he came into the world as the light and lived as the light and not in darkness. I see the commandment is true in you because you're walking in Jesus and not in the darkness of the world. So how do we know that we're walking in the light? The light's used a little bit differently here than chapter 1. It's clear. We can see that we are in the light of Christ when we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we walk in darkness, we will hate our brothers. Hate. He's using a strong word here, and I think he's referring to the false teachers. The false teachers had left the church and were actively opposing these little children and John's teaching. That's why he says they hate the brothers. You know you're in the light when you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. When I was on campus security in college, we had these portable spotlights. And they were 10 million candle power, which is a lot. I think they had like a car battery in them. And they could illuminate pretty much anything you pointed them at. And we called them the sun. So we would carry the sun around with us. And our favorite use of the sun was on the last night of the teen camp they had on campus during the summer. And we would put our friends high up into the bell tower. If you've ever been to Baptist Bible College, now called Summit University, the highest point on campus is the bell tower. And we would station people up there with the sun. And if any renegade teenager tried to escape from the dorms, they would point the sun at them, and it would be evident to everyone where they were. So So that's how we use the sun. We would use it in the woods too. They had a couple acres of woods, and when it's pitch black and no moon at night, you can trip over roots and hit yourself in the face with branches. But if you had this sun with you, you could see everything in the woods, and it was very nice. John says, if you're in the light, you're not going to stumble. The word stumble here is often used of falling into sin. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. If you're walking in the light, you're going to see sin. You're going to see those traps of sin. A person walking in darkness is going to be tripping over roots and crashing into branches in his face. He's blind to what is true. He's walking in the darkness and stumbling around and tripping and falling into sin. If you're in the light of Jesus Christ, you see sin coming. So three encouragements for true believers. The gospel is evident in your light, in your life. The light is shining in your life. And number three, salvation is real in your life. Salvation is real in your life. And here in verses 12 to 14, John reaches the peak of his encouragement for his beloved children. He speaks to, if you've noticed, children, fathers, and young men. And he says, he addresses each category twice in these verses. Who are the children? Who are the fathers? And who are the young men? Some commentators would say that these are three different levels of spiritual maturity. Problem with that is that John calls his readers children or little children multiple times before this passage and after this passage. So when I see little children, I think of all readers. So that's how I'm taking it, and the reason I'm taking it that way. And these words for fathers and young men, everywhere else are used in the Bible, we're talking about older men and younger men. So think what John is doing here. He's addressing all readers when he says children. And when he says young men, he's referring to younger Christians. And when he talks to the fathers, he's referring to the older Christians. No matter where you are, John is addressing his readers, young and old, his beloved children. What does he tell them? How does he encourage them in these verses? He says this, your sins are forgiven, you have known the Father, you have overcome the wicked one. All those verbs are in the perfect tense. And you're saying, I didn't come to church for a grammar lesson. But the perfect tense is very encouraging, if you didn't know that. The perfect tense describes a past action with effects in the present. A past action with effects in the present. So John says, something has happened in your life, and it has effects up to now. Namely, your sins have been forgiven, and you have known the Father, and you have overcome the evil one. So he's describing present realities in these children's lives. Let's look at them. What are these realities? What is the reality of salvation in the lives of his readers? Number one, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. In chapter 1, John has said, if you walk in the light, you will confess your sins. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins. Here John says, you are forgiven. You are real Christians. You have confessed your sins and they are forgiven. It's not an if, it's reality in your life. Number two, you know him who is from the beginning, referring to Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verse 4, John says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. What does John say here? You do know God. You have passed the test. You belong to the Father. You are in a relationship with God. You know Him for real. It's not an if, it's a fact. 3, you have overcome the evil one or the wicked one, referring to the devil. This encouragement looks forward to what John will say later in the book. I'm going to read from chapter 5, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God, born again, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Later in chapter 5, it says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten or born of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. John says, you have true faith. You believe in the Son of God, and therefore you overcome the devil. You've overcome the devil ever since you began your Christian life. Then he says, he adds something in verse 14 to the young men. He says, you have the Word of God abiding in you. You have the Word of God abiding in you. Look at chapter 1, verse 10. It says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us, does not abide in us. What does John say here? God's word abides in you. You're for real. I can see that it is so by the fruit of your lives. And John repeats himself for the purpose of making sure he gets his point across to encourage his readers. I don't care if you're older or younger or in between somewhere. If you belong to God, salvation is a present reality in your life. It doesn't matter where you are in your journey with Christ. If you've passed the test that John has put forward, you've got it. But how do we apply these truths to our lives? John has written these words for our encouragement and our growth in fellowship with the Father. The tests that he has given that we read at the beginning of the sermon are to distinguish between false teachers and true believers and to increase fellowship, our fellowship with God. Let's review those tests very quickly. These are evidences that you have been saved, not ways to get saved. A true Christian, there's three of them, walks in the light and confesses his sin, keeps the commands of Jesus, and loves his brothers and sisters in Christ. John says, you are walking in the light. You are keeping the commands of Jesus. You are loving your fellow Christians. It's real. You know God. Your sins are forgiven. You have overcome the evil one. The word of God abides in you. God has accomplished salvation in your life, and you are experiencing it right now. When I was in college, we had a friend who had gotten married while he and his wife were in college, and soon after that, they were expecting their first child. My friend refused to believe that the baby was real. Yeah, that went over real well. He said, it's going to be real when I see it. I think he was having a hard time dealing with being a first-time dad, working and going to school and all that. I remember when we were expecting Zachariah, it took me a while to grasp that the baby was for real. Emily had no doubts about that. And you mothers probably understand that. But when the baby started kicking in the womb and having hiccups in the womb, which is interesting, I was like, oh, it's for real. It's for real. John is telling his readers, your salvation is for real. I'm writing to you because salvation is a present reality in your life. It has happened, and you have it right now. Perhaps as we've gone through these tests in 1 John, maybe you've questioned your salvation. Am I confessing my sins? Am I keeping the commands of Jesus? Am I loving my fellow Christians? You say, I'm trying to obey God's commands, but I fail. I confess my sins, but there are so many of them. Loving fellow Christians is so hard sometimes. Remember, these tests are for your growth in fellowship with the Father. If the course of your Christian life has been defined by confessing your sins, obeying God's commands, and loving your fellow Christians, take heart. Salvation is a present reality in your life. If your soul, if your heart has been beat up by these tests in 1 John, that's okay. I have a friend who's in the Army Reserves. And as part of his ongoing training, he had to take a self-defense course, taking down different guys with different implements. He learned how to defend himself and take big and small guys down. But he walked away from this course with a few bruised ribs, which are quite painful. And that course was a small part of the training and pain he experienced as part of the Army Reserves. But the pain was not in vain. It shaped him into a good soldier and a strong leader. And at 34, he's a captain and he has a command of an Army intelligence unit. So that self-defense course was just one small part of the pain that he endured to become the soldier he is today. 1 John may leave some bruises on your soul, but it's okay. Therefore, you're good. They will draw you closer to the Father if you're a child of God. 1 John should lead us to confess our sins more often, love God deeper by obeying His commands, and having greater love for our fellow Christians. And all of that will lead us deeper, deeper into fellowship with the Father. If God's holiness has exposed your sin, if you have found areas of disobedience in your life, if you have seen a growing love in your heart for fellow Christians, by the Spirit, 1 John is doing its job in your life. All of this will lead to increased fellowship with the Father. Maybe these tests in 1 John have exposed that you do not have the life of God in your soul. Maybe you haven't been born again. Salvation can be a present reality in your life. You can say that your sins have been forgiven. You can say that you know God. You could say that you have overcome the evil one and that the Word of God abides in you. What must you do? Repent of your sins and run to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Acknowledge that you have nothing, but Christ has everything. Come to the light. See your sins in the light of God's holiness. And see the complete forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers to those who trust Him. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So, brothers and sisters, as John would say, dear children, these things are for our encouragement. So I've been blessed to know you for a few short months and to see that salvation is a present reality in many of your lives. And I praise God for that. Let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise you that you are a God of love, that you are the God of all comfort. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take your word and that you would comfort and encourage your disheartened and discouraged children, that they would be reminded that salvation truly is a present reality in their lives. Lord, I pray if there's anyone that does not believe in Jesus Christ, anyone who has not been born again, that you would use the words of 1 John to give them new life by your Spirit. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.